Okay, good afternoon, everybody. So this is a good thing, right? The 12 o'clock shiur time for June. I don't care if you think it's good or not, I'm doing it. So, okay, but I can use the chizuk, right? So what we're going to be doing today is Sudas Havra'ah and Birch Samazim Beis Avil. So Shin Ayin Ches. And then tomorrow we'll start getting into like the actual halachos of what an avil can and can't do and should be doing or whatever. So we're getting toward that. But first, Sudas Havra, that's on the agenda for today. So there's a Gemara Ma'id Katan Daf Chav Zayin Beis where the Gemara tells us, Am Rabbi Damarav, avil yom rishon asu lecha lecha mishalo. It's an interesting formulation of the halacha, that the way the Gemara says it is that on the first day of Avelus, he's not allowed to eat his own lechem. It's based on the Pesukim in Yecheskel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to act out Avelus, and he tells him that lechem anashim losochel, that it's interesting, but when it comes to Yecheskel, Tosfos already points out some of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel we learn are Dine Avelus, and some of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel are exceptions to Dine Avelus, that even though you're acting like an Avel, you're still going to do this, right? Perach HaChavish Alecha. So you see from there that an Avel doesn't wear tefillin. But anyway, so an Avel's not allowed to eat his own food, he's got to be provided food from someone else. And that's Yom Rishon. So there is a fundamental Machlokas Rush and Tosos. We alluded to it the other day, that the Rush and Simon Peites writes, Yom Rishon does not mean Yom Rishon. It means Su'uda Rishona, that the first Su'uda that the Avel has should not be from his own food. However, Tosos in Dibur Maschil Yom, Anachav Zayin and Bey says, no, the entire first day he's not allowed to eat his own food, even if he has multiple meals on that first day. I mean, you can imagine a Levaya that happens bright and early in the morning, and it's this time of year where Shkia is not till whatever, 8:20. So the Avel will be having lunch when he comes home, and the Avel is going to be having dinner all before the Yom Rishon is over. So is he allowed to have that second meal, that dinner, from his own food, or does that have to be from somebody else's food? So the Rush says, Su'uda Rishona, that's the whole halacha. And Tosfos says, no, it's Yom Rishon. Beis Yosef writes that even though from the Rambam Perek Dalet Halacha Tes it sounds like Tosfos, Halacha K'divrei Mekel B'Avel, and therefore we paskin like the Rush. So in Sif Al, Shulchan Aruch writes, Avel asu lechol mishalo b'su'uda rishona. Avel b'shniya mutter afilu b'yom rishon. Then in the second meal it's already mutter even though it's yom rishon. Now within this sheet of the Rush that we paskin like, that it's only about su'uda rishona, there's makom lehistapek, what if he didn't eat anything on that first day? So then on the second day, is he allowed to eat mishalal? Meaning when we say, if the Rush learns that when the Gemara says that there's a din, that Yom Rishon, he's not allowed to eat mishalo, means Su'uda Rishon he's not allowed to eat mishalo, does that mean Su'uda Rishon be Yom Rishon? And maybe that's why the Gemara formulated it as Yom Rishon, to tell me that it's not only Su'uda Rishon, it's also got to be on Yom Rishon on that day that is very mar, that is very bitter and very difficult for him. Or does it mean that no, the word Yom is really lav dafka, and it's really only about Su'uda Rishona, which has nothing to do with the Yom at all. So the Torah writes that Lechora, if he doesn't eat that entire day, the next day, Su'uda Rishona, he's not allowed to eat Mishalo, because we see from the Pasuk, so that it's a mitzvah by another, like other Dinei Avelus. However, that Torah is only Lefi Shita Sarash, that the Din Avra'a is about the Su'uda and not about the Yom, as opposed to Tosos. Now the Torah himself rejects this, and he says from the Yerushalmi it's mashma that b'yom sheni, even though a person didn't eat at all on Yom Rishon, the concept of Sudas Havra'ah has run out, and therefore there's no problem with him eating mishalo. So the Beis Yosef is not a lohaka like the Rush, kasil chesuk divrei meikel, like we said. And even according to the Rush, where there's makom to be machmer b'suda rishon b'yom sheni, the mechaber is makel on that as well. So in Siv Gimel, the mechaber writes, im ratza avol shalo lechol b'yom rishon mutter lechol mishalo afilu su'uda rishona, meaning on yom sheni the su'uda rishona would be mutter. So either he's telling me that we could go halachik divrei meikel in both directions, that we could, on as far as yom rishon, the kula is like the Rush, that it's only for one meal. And as far as Yom Sheni, the kula is like Tosfos, that it's only Yom Rishon. Or he's saying that that's the way to learn the Rush, that when the Rush says Suda Rishona, he means Suda Rishona bi Yom Rishon. But that's for sure how we paskin. So if the Avil doesn't need, oftentimes, like a funeral will be in the afternoon, by the time they get back, it's already nighttime. So the Chorot, there's no din of Suda Savra at that point in time, because it's already not the Yom Rishon anymore. The Yom Rishon is already over. So Chachmas Adam writes that in Ktsas Kihilos, they're noeg lechom ishalacherim kol zayin yemei avelos throughout the entire Shiva. And that's certainly, it's not just Ksas Kihilos, we do. As soon as they find out someone is sitting Shiva, so every Avel who lives in a different community, their community contributes this meal, and that one contributes that meal, and there's food coming in from all over the place. They don't eat any of their own food throughout the period of Avelos. So that minuk is called in the Chachmas Adam. It's already mentioned by the Beis Yosef in the memory of Ben Yeruchim, that kol zayin yamim mipnei aniyei Yisrael, for the sake of the aniyim that are unable to afford, they can't do work that week, so there are many people that used to live, and still do, but there were many more probably, they used to live day to day, that they earned their living that day, and that's how they ate that day. So if they weren't earning a living that day, then they weren't eating that day. So in order, shelo yisbayish ha'aniyim, they made a takana in many communities that you always provide, give them a whole week's worth of what they need. So the Chachmas Adam writes that yesh noagim to send money day machsaro for all 7 days, even la'ashirim, so that the aniyim won't have to be misbayish. The aniyim won't have to malach, won't have to be misbayish. It is curious. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yardei Chelek Beis in Kuf Samaches, where he discusses whether there's an isser to be shaleach manos during Shiva, because it's an isser in general to be shaleach manos to an avel. Meaning there's an isser of simcha to send gifts and food and things like that to an avel. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses, is it usser to be shaleach manos to an avel during Shiva? You would think whatever is usser during Yid Beis Chodesh for Aviv Imo, and by the way, that is usser for Yid Beis Chodesh for Aviv Imo, should be usser during Shiva for sure. And he says, even though lo ra'a v'lo shama, says Rav Moshe, I never saw or heard talmidei chachamim that are knowing to do this, to send food during Shiva. Nevertheless, there's no isser bedavar. And he writes, because throughout Shiva, the purpose of the food is not mitam simcha, it's mitam nechama. That there's a different flavor, in terms of the meaning behind the food, not like flavor of the food itself. There's a different concept behind the food, right? The concept is not one of giving them simcha, but one of giving them nechama. There's a difference between nechama and simcha. It's just a pella that Rav Moshe says, I never saw a Talmud Chacham do this. The Chachmas Adam mentions it. The Beis Yosef quotes it from Rabbeinu Yeruchim. How can you say he never saw the Talmid Chacham do this? Plus, the whole world does it, right? I mean, every Shiva house has like that. So I'm not sure what Rav Moshe meant by that. Okay, question.
Does that mean if the other has a child during that year, often there's like a meal train that happens that week from the community?
That's a good question. Would that be a problem for a meal train for the other's wife? Send it to the wife. Send it to the wife. That's always, that's what we do with shelf moments. Yeah.
Okay. How do you constitute someone, like someone's food? Because if it's being sent to them, so then doesn't it become theirs at that point? And even if it's, okay, it's being bought by the community.
It means that they didn't pay for it with their own money. Someone provided it for them. Yeah. We'll get to why and what the basis is, and then you'll see that it fits. The Yerushalmi, someone else had a question? So the Yerushalmi in the third parak of Ma'id Katan says, "Tavu me'ir l'shchenav shetzvichu lechol mishalav lasos melacha." That if a guy has to, figure out where he's going to get his own food from while he's in Avel, so that neighborhood should be cursed. That's a really bad neighborhood. Meaning people have to take care of the Avelim in their neighborhood, and they should be cursed for not doing so. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch's Lashon in Sif Aleph is mitzvah al shcheinav sheyachilu mishalahem kadesh lo yachol mishalav. Meaning even though the halach is formulated in the Bavli as an isra on the Avel to eat mishalav, since the Yerushalmi says, and there, meaning therefore you got to put two and two together, together. If the oval's not allowed to eat mishalo, it's not going to fall down like man min hashamayim. You're going to have to do something about that. So that the burden of responsibility therefore goes on the Shechinim, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch incorporates in the Lashon and Siv Aleph that it's a mitzvah on the Shechinim. The Gemara goes on to say in Chav Zayin and Beis that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef machlifi suda sayila dadi. That when Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef were avelim, they exchanged sudas with each other. So the Rosh in Simon Pei Dalit says that even though we learn from there that you could be ma'achil lichavero during your own avelus, and he can reciprocate, you shouldn't make a tenai mitchila lekach. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Sif Aleph, that it shouldn't be Yachal Echel Lahachlis Chaver Bimei Evlo V'hu Yachzer Gamkin V'yachilenu Bimei Evlo Uvlachel Yisnu B'tchila. I mean, you shouldn't make a deal that, okay, when you're an Avel, I'll take care of you, and I'm an Avel. It just happens that way. Meaning, obviously, the close friends are going to provide food for the Avelim, but it shouldn't be explicitly said that, I have to do this. You know, sometimes people like to keep score of exactly who gave them something. How many times did this person invite me? Because I better not invite them for a second Shabbos meal before they invited me for a first Shabbos meal, because that would be against the rules, right? Meaning, you gotta keep score of every chesed anyone ever did with you, and make sure not to do a single bit extra beyond what they did with you. It's a big mitzvah. So sometimes people would have this cheshbon that, oh, I have to take care of them because they took care of me. You certainly shouldn't say something like that. Now, what's the basis of this Suda Sabra? So Chachmas Adam in Klal Kuf Samach Gimel Sif Hei quotes two reasons for Suda Sabra. I was always fascinated with Suda Sabra, probably because Rosh Hashanah has a nice piece on it in Gina Sagos. So the Chachmas Adam quotes two reasons. Number one, he quotes Rabbeinu Yeruchim, that an Avel is Doeg V'ne'enach Al Meso V'enuch Hoshish Lechel. Very often, he just doesn't feel like eating. He's so depressed, he's so sad, he doesn't feel like eating. Ki ritzono lamos. He just wants to die. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you have to encourage him to eat, meaning you have to encourage the person to live and to function as a human being. So that's one mahalich. The Levush writes that it's all part of nechama, that we show to the Avel that we're paying attention to him, that we haven't forgotten about him. That's part of the din of Nichum Avelim, is to let him know that he hasn't been forgotten, not because he physically needs it or whatever, but because that's the mitzvah of Nichum. Now, if they want to be ma'orer other people to pay attention to him, and it's a din in Nichum, it is a funny formulation in the Gemara, right? That the Gemara says, Avel asur lechol mishalo, right? As opposed to mitzvah al acherim. It should have been, like the Rishalmi's formulation is better, that Tavr Meir al Shechenav, that you make him eat mishalo, you should show him that you're paying attention to him. But maybe if it would have been formulated as a chiyuv on others to be mavrehim, then it wouldn't be such an expression of love and care. It would be like he's their chefetz shel mitzvah, that they have a mitzvah to be mavrehim, and he's the only way to fulfill this chiyuv. So the Chachamim very cleverly made it a din in the Avel, where there is no single person that has a responsibility or a mitzvah to do it, but because he's not allowed to eat mishalo, so we have to pick up the hint on our own that this is something that we're supposed to provide him with, and it should be ma'orer on the Avel, the idea that Klal Yisrael is rachmanim gomlei chasadim, and they're interested in looking out for him and taking care of whatever his needs are. Now, in Sefer Ginas Ego, Simul Chavav, and I've heard it from Roshachta a number of times, Roshachta discusses whether Su'udas Havra'a, and this relates to these two deos, whether Su'udas Havra'a is a din, the way Roshachta formulates it, a din in Avelos or a din in Nichum Avelos? Meaning, is it a hanhaga of Avelos, not to eat your own food? Or is it a din in Nichum Avelim, that it's a din on the community to provide Nechama? If it's a din in Nichum Avelim, it's not an individual din in Nichum Avelim. L'chor, it's a chavos ha-tzibur of Nichum Avelim, right? There are chavos ha-yachad and chavos ha-tzibur. So l'chor, it's a chavos ha-tzibur of Nichum Avelim, that the neighborhood has a responsibility to take care of this, that this is within the general responsibilities of a community to make sure that a shiva house is provided with a suda savra'a. What would be the nafkamina? So Rav Shachter points out, very pashula nafkamina. He says, the harbe pa'amim, this is in Os Dalet, in Ginas Ego Simcha Vav, the harbe pa'amim, k'sha kvura miskayem is pe'emtza yom, very often the kvura happens in the middle of the day, v'kol ha'shchenim trudim b'eskeim parnasasam, and all the neighbors are busy at work, and they're, you know, running around here and there. So no one's going to have time to stop by the Shiva house after the Kvura to drop off a Suda Savra. V'inhigu bekama makomos, shashchein meviim a Suda Savra, mi be'erev b'layla shalfnei Kvura. Very often, a person dies, let's say, on Wednesday. The Levi is going to be Thursday morning, but Thursday is a work day. Everyone's busy on Thursday. So on Wednesday night, when they're still owning him and they're hanging out in the house, someone from the Chevra Kedisha will bring over the bagels and the eggs and whatever, we'll get to later, what's included in the Suudas Havra'a, and they'll have it there at the house. They'll leave it in the refrigerator. So they'll have it for after the Kavura. So Rav Shachter points out, that only works according to one shita. The das rover rishon about poskim masom sheisov adin zavroi b'toras tanchume avelim. If it's a din in nichum avelim, you can't be menachem novel. The Mishnah says novels can't be menachem novel when the mesom mutal lefanav. He's not a novel yet. When it's still mesom mutal lefanav, when he's still an onen, it's not yet the time for nichum avelim. So lav shapirav, he says Rav Shachter. It turns out they're not doing the right thing by leaving the su'uda in the refrigerator while he's an onen, because you need a maisa nesina and hagoshas ha'ochel should be dafka la'achar akvura in order that it should be a kiyum of tanchume avelim. But if it were only a din in a nihu gavelus, that you're not eating your own food, so good, so then it's all tali on when he eats it, so it would not be a problem. Now Rav Shachter also points out in this piece, just to elaborate, according to the tzad, that it's one of the nihuge avelus, meaning not a din in tanchume avelum, but a din in nihuge avelus, what is the gedder of that din? Why is that a nihug of avelus, not to eat your own food? So we already explained very simply, Rabbi Yerucham said that the avel is doeg, he wants to die, he doesn't want to eat anything. And maybe by the fact that he needs to be encouraged by others to eat, is a nihug of avelus, that he's showing he's not interested in eating. That's a nihug of avelus, that I can't eat, I'm so distraught that I'm unable to eat. But Rav Shachter says a little different. Hayinir lomer together in yano hu laharos heich shekol b'nei adam kulam tzrichim echad hasheni. This is a demonstration about how people need each other, that people cannot survive on their own. Ubimeis mishahu hare yesh kan chesron gadol, that when someone dies there is a lacking, there is a void. And because of that void, a person can't even prepare his own meal. If even his neighbors don't send him anything, he still can't eat his own food. Unlike those poskim who say that the only reason an avel is not allowed to eat his own food in the first meal is because you shouldn't withhold the mitzvah of providing the food from the other people who need to provide it. Meaning, nafka mina, the way Rav Shachter says is that the way a lot of poskim will say it, will tell you, is that really the yesod of asur le'echel mishalo is because everyone else has a mitzvah to provide it. And if you're ochel mishalo, if the avel is ochel mishalo, he's preventing the other people from doing the mitzvah. Shach says, no, that's not what it's about. It's about the avel himself, that it's also for the avel to be lechel mishalo. Because by not eating mishalo, he's saying, I need other people. I can't function on my own. And that's what, you know, and that's an expression of avelus, because the need for other people is an expression of the need for relationships. And here he just lost a very close relationship. That's how to understand it. Nafkamina would be, what if there is no Suda Savra forthcoming? There's no Chevra Kedisha where he lives, or the Chevra Kedisha calls and says, oh, we totally dropped the ball. We thought the other one was taken care of. We thought this one, we're not going to have a Suda Savra. And he's hungry and he wants, so can he eat me shalom? So if you say, like the way Rav Shachter quotes from others, that it's only not to withhold the opportunity from other people, well, you know, it's not coming, then you're allowed to eat mishalo. But if you say, like Rav Shachter, that it's a niyu gavelus, and the reason it's a niyu gavelus is that you're showing that you need other people and that you're not independent, you can't function on your own, so then it would be asur lechol mishalo, even in such a case. So that's, I thought, a very nice shtickle from Rav Shachter. Another nafkamina might be If an avil is mitzarif to a zimun by the havra'ah, by the sudas havra'ah, Beis Yosef writes in Shinayin Tess, why not? He's chayv in brachas mazon. Why wouldn't he be mitzarif in zimun? He's chayv in all mitzvahs. He's already not an onin anymore. So Darkei Moshe says that sudas havra'ah is mishum avelus, and it's similar to the birchas hashura, and therefore only the menachemim are mitzarif and not the misnachemim. He says based on Mordechai that the whole Su'udah is only Mishum the Nichum, so only when you're counting, who counts toward the Su'udah Savra, it's the people who are being Menachim, because that's the Matara of the meal. It's a chiddush to say that that's, Nafkamina in this Machlokas. La halacha, whether an Aval is Mitzarif, the Zimun is black on white, right? Meaning the Chabar Paskin Sif Hey, that an Aval is Mitzarif for Tefillah, for Zimun, Bein Lishlosha, Bein Liasara, the Shach writes in Sif Katan Vav, except for Suda Savra. By Suda Savra is not Mitzarif, because Rashi in Ksubastav Chesem Bey says that Ein Avel Min Aminyin Bebracha Sheberachava, which is the Suda Rishona that they would eat Mishal Acherim. So even though we don't eat that Suda Berachava, we don't eat it in the town square, but we still have a Suda Savra. So the Shach writes that Suda Savra, the Avel, should not be Mitzarif. Dogum Revava, those Machriya, that even for Suda Savra, the Avel is Mitzarif for a Zimun of Shlosha, just not for a Sarah. Because the reason Dogma Vav is Machriya that way is to be Machmir for that Shita that he's not Mitzarif. We're only going to be Machmir as far as Haskar Hashem Shemayim, but if it's not going to involve Haskar Hashem Shemayim, there's not going to be an Elokeinu anyway, so then we're not going to be Machmir for that Shita. Chachmas Adam, however, Paskin said he's not Mitzarif for Sud Savra even for Shlosha. So the easy way to get out of it is by not having everyone eat together, to avoid a zimun. Chachmas Adam points out further, Mehechi Tesi, that it's Biyom Rishon. Meaning, the Gemara says, how do I know the novel's not Lali Mishalom? Lechem Anashim Tochal. Because of Pasuki Necheskel. Did the Pasuki Necheskel give any indication that it's about Avelus Yom Rishon? Mehechi Tesi, it's about Yom Rishon. So he says, it seems that it's Dafka Yom Rishon for both of the reasons that he had mentioned of what the Suda Savra is for. If it's that he has this deep merirus, so that merirus is most felt most strongly on Yom Rishon, but maybe that leaves room for the minhag that we have in most kihilos that we provide him with food the whole week. That we provide him with food the whole week. And if it's not a din in the merirus, but like the levush says, that we're showing him that he hasn't been forgotten, so you just have to make a gesture and show that he hasn't been forgotten. It doesn't mean that you're going to provide him with food forever. It just means that we're making a gesture to show that he hasn't been forgotten. So you make that gesture at the beginning of the Avelus. Okay, so now let's get into some of the details of Suda Savra. Any questions? So far so good? Yeah, so now let's get into some of the details of Suda Savra. So the Rush in Siman Pei Daled quotes a Braisa. It's not in the Bavli. Quotes a Braisa that one of the chilukim between Ish v'Isha, as far as Avelus is concerned, is that we're Mavrin and Ish, and we're not Mavrin Eitzel Isha. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im yesh lo banim katan, im Mavrin imahem. If she has sons, then you could be Mavra her, you give the Suda Savra to her together with her sons. Then he quotes Rabbeinu Meir, that women can provide a Suda Savra for other women, it's just that men should not provide a Suda Savra for women because of Hergel Aveira. So all of this appears in Shulchan Aruch, right? In Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis, Isha She'ira Evel, Ein La Nashim Lavrosa, Aval Nashim Mavrin, V'Isha Nesua She'ira Evel, Ein Yichol Lechol Suda Rishonu Mishal Baila, which is also a Chiddush, V'chein Mishi Yeshel Sofer Oschir Yom, meaning if you earn it for whatever reason, then it's not considered Mishal Acherim. As far as someone who has Banim Katanim, the Torah writes that then even, that's a valid heter. that even men can be mavra her if she has banim katanim. So Beis Yosef understands that the Torah is explaining the brisa, like Rabbi Yehuda, he's not that. And he explains the brisa that Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to be cholik on the Tanna Kamma; he's coming to be mosif on the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma says a man should not be mavra nisha. Rabbi Yehuda says if she has banim katanim, he can be mavra nisha. So the way the Torah must have understood the Beis Yosef explains is that it is no machlokas; it's just that he's adding a detail. The Beis Yosef, however, points out that the Mordechai disagrees, and he holds that Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the Tanna Kamma, and we pass on the Tanna Kamma, and therefore, even if there are children, a man cannot provide Suda Savra for a woman. So Shulchan Aruch Tzav Beis, he passed in Stam, that a man should not be providing Suda Savra for a woman, and it sounds like that even if she has banim, it should be Dafka, an Isha that is Mavra, right? Is that Yeah, it sounds that way, that even if she has banim, we pass on like the Tanna Kamma. That's a little bit difficult. It's a little bit difficult because halacha k'divrei mekel v'avel. So if we always pass on k'divrei mekel, why are we machmir on that inyan? And Beis Yosef doesn't bring any raya to the sheet of the Mordechai. Beis Yosef just says that you have this machlokas between the Tur and the Mordechai about how to understand this brisa. So I don't know, why be machmir like the Mordechai? The Aruch HaShulchan points out that even according to the Shulchan Aruch, Banim Ketanim would not be a heter. But let's say you have men and women that are both Avelim, so you could send it to the group of Avelim. Because the Iker is to the Balabais, and Mela, everyone else also is going to eat. And the same is true if she has children, or over Bar Mitzvah, or brothers that are sitting Shiva with her, Geshur HaChaim points out. So as long as there are both men and women Avelim, then it doesn't matter. Then you don't have to pay attention to who's providing the Suda Savra. If there are only women Avelim, Lechora, I mean, it's black and white in Shulchan Aruch, an Isha should be the one to provide the Suda Savra, which is normally what happens anyway. What about a woman providing Suda Savra for a man? So Geshur HaChaim says, I don't know, did you see that anywhere? Do any of the poskim talk about it? So Geshur HaChaim says, it doesn't appear anywhere. So it sounds like, you know, what's your philosophy in life? Everything is mutter until proven aser, right? That was Rabbi Ezra Schwartz said, he used to tell Talmidim that they should, if they're looking for a good date question, you know, on a date to ask, do you hold everything is mutter until proven aser, or everything is aser until proven mutter? You know, and why? Interesting thing to contemplate. But Pashtus is everything is mutter until proven aser, right? Meaning we have the surim in the Torah, and the Torah doesn't aser, so we assume it's varishos, right? It's that you're allowed to do things. So it doesn't say anywhere that it's aser for an isha to be mavrish. So the Geshur HaChaim points out that which it says in the Shulchan Gavoa to aser is only lefim in hagam, that the people who bring the suda eat together with the people who they're providing the suda for. But b'zman hazeh, that's not what we do. They drop the suda at the house and they say goodbye. And they don't eat the suda together with the avelim. So the chora ein lahachmir on something like this. That's what Geshur HaChaim says. Pnei Baruch compares this to the din yardesim kuvtzadi hei. Ooh, all coming together. The whole year comes together. So zim kuvtzadi hei. What happens in zim kuvtzadi hei? That a nida, that if he's chola, she could be mishamish him because she's not going to be margilei. But if she's a chola, he cannot be mishamish her because who margilei la? Meaning men are pigs, women aren't, right? So the assumption is that we compare the avil to the chola in hilchos nida, right? That's the assumption. That just like it's uneven in hilchos nida in terms of him being a chola versus her being a chola, so too it's uneven over here. In Yalkut Yosef, I just saw he paskins bepshitos without any makar that women should not be mavra anashim. It's a big chiddush, right? Because it doesn't say that anywhere, and he just says, yeah, can't do it. The Rabbeinu Meir, Rosh Kotz Rabbeinu Meir, was masupak. If an isha nesua is mutar lechol mishal baila, or maybe not, since mizonos seha alav, it's as if she's ocheles mishala, meaning when her husband promised to support her in the ksuba and committed to an eflach ve'ezon va'farnis yisichilichi kilchus kuvrin yudayim, that he's going to provide her with everything that he's supposed to provide her with. So maybe that's considered that she's eating mishala if her husband gives it to her. So the Rosh says, yeah, vaday, that's considered a mishala, you know, because he's chayiv in the mizonos. So and that's how she always eats. And that, the same would be true if anyone is responsible for feeding anyone. But he says if someone is giving mizonos to an ani or to a yasom, even the ban of hagadolim, without any clear tanai or contract, and then that person becomes an avel, you could keep on providing them with food. That's going to be mutter, right? Meaning that's not going to be a problem of them eating mishalahem. So if you have, right, a lot of times people assume that if I've been giving money to a certain person, it means that I have a lifetime commitment to give money to that person. Not necessarily true. I don't think there's any halacha like that. Someone just asked me last night, said he's been giving, sending monthly checks to a particular tzedakah for the last 2 years. He was very shaykh to that tzedakah a couple of years ago. He felt a real kinship with that tzedakah a couple of years ago. He said now he's in a different place in life. He has other tzedakahs that he feels much more, much closer to. Does he have to do Atar Sanadarim to to stop giving the checks, stop writing checks to that tzedakah? Or probably not checks, probably electronic payments, but whatever. To stop giving money on a monthly basis to that tzedakah. I don't know. I don't think he has to do Atar Sanadarim for something like that. You have any chiyuv to continue to give? Yeah, it's understood that you give whatever talks to your heart at that stage in your life. Obviously, you should always be giving, but whatever relates to you at that point in your life. Okay, now we discussed what if an avel doesn't eat on day one, right? So does the first meal on day two? So we discussed this machlokas. That it might be Machlokas Rosh and Tosfos, or it could be even the Rosh is Mekel. What we didn't discuss is, could an Avel make that choice? I just don't want a Suta Savra. I'm just not interested in a Suta Savra. I don't want to eat. So the Rabban in Torah Ha'adam quotes Yerushalmi that if the Avel doesn't want to be Makabal Havra'a, he doesn't want to eat all day, on that first day, Harashus Biyado. And the Torah quotes this. The Beis Yosef writes, though, that the Arzurua in Hilchas Avelus says that Ein Manichenes Ha'avelis Anos B'Yom Rishon. You cannot let him fast in Yom Rishon, Machilin Oso, Mashkin Oso. And he quotes that the Mordechai disagrees. And he says that the Riva used to fast Kol Yom Rishon Ad Halayla because he didn't want to be Nana Mishal Acher. Meaning, Dafka because, Soni Matalasich, yeah? And I don't want to be nana from anything that that belongs to somebody else. And he knew that an avel biyom rishon is not allowed to eat mishalo, so his only chance of eating was mishal acherim. That's dafka why the riva fasted on the first day, so that he won't have to do a suda savra'a. L'chora it's tali in our chakir, right? Meaning if it's a din, a suda savra'a is a din in nichum avelim, it's not the avel's responsibility to do nichum avelim. It's the responsibility of the menachemim to do nichum avelim. So he doesn't have to eat. But if it's a din in a hanhaga of avelus, especially the way Rav Shechter understands it, by showing that I need other people. Well, no, maybe according to by showing that I need other people. So then, or whatever, however you understand the hanhaga of avelus, or by demonstrating the way Rabbi Yeruchim said, by demonstrating that on his own he wouldn't want to eat, and that he needs to be forced to eat. So if it's a hanhaga of avelus, so then he has to be knowing all of the dinim of Avelus. And Shulchan Aruch we paskin im ratz avel shalolach l'biyom rishon mutolach l'mishalach filu suda rishona, that he, if he wants to not eat the first day, he's allowed to not eat the first day, and then the second day he can eat the suda rishona. I kept giving examples of shkiyas coming, right? So that night, by the time he eats dinner, right, it's already the second day. Is that so pashut that as far as Avelus is concerned, that night is considered the second day? The Beis Yosef quotes a Ritva in Baba Basra that just like the Lel Sheni is considered Yom Rishon as far as Avelus, Hu Adin Le'inyan Havra'a, that Tofes Leilu, if they're Chozer Ben Ashmashos. So Darkei Moshe points out that Rabbeinu Tam and Riva disagree. And they say you can't do Suda Savra B'Layla. And Darkei Moshe says that's much more reliable than the Sheet of the Ritva, especially because Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel. So the Raman, Siv Gimel, says that if he was not Mekabel Avra B'Yom Rishon, already at night he can be Ochel Mishalo. So even though it is a Machlokas Rishonim, whether it's Halayla Holech Achar Yom as far as Havra is concerned, in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama holds that the Layla is already the next day. The Pesachei Tshuva, though, in Sifkat and Beis, quotes in the Yehuda and Simon Sadiches, that someone who's Meis Lo Meis, and he buried him at night, so then they're mavrinos b'layla. And if he didn't eat at night, mavrinos b'yom sha'achrav. Because it's only by when the first day already happened and it's over that the Rama says that you don't do avra b'layla. But if the kvura happened, like in Eretz Yisrael, the kvura happens at night, so of course you do avra b'layla. Shulchan Aruch Zevdal also just mentions a minhag that they had hayinogin l'sanos b'yom misas hachachamim, that they had a minhag to fast on the day that a chacham died. I don't know if we still know it. What did they do in Panovich yesterday? People eat? Anyone hear anything? Should all of Klal Yisrael have fasted? How do you define Misas HaChachamim? Is this one of those things where we say no one has a din of a Chacham nowadays? I don't know. Anyone see anything on that?
There's an Isra Malacha, but I don't think there's fast in Bnei Brak.
Bnei Brak, the main Isra Malacha. Oh, okay. Matan, you see anything on that? No fasting? No tshuvas, nothing? Okay. What if someone dies on Erev Shabbos? Right, so they still have quotes from Mordechai and some tough kuf lam and gimel. Mish nikvar be'erev Shabbos samuch lechashecha kodem ben hashmashos. A lot of times they don't want to leave the mace out till Sunday, so they're going to try to get the levaya done on erev Shabbos. They want to take care of it, so they bury samuch lechashecha kodem ben hashmashos. Chayiv bavra v'im yishum sheikanis Shabbos k'shum esave. He says, oh, what's going to be the problem? You're going to have a whole suda late in the day on Erev Shabbos. You're allowed to do that. You're supposed to go into Shabbos hungry for your Shabbos suda. Hapaskin paragarvei psachim halacha Rabbi Yosi b'Erev Shabbos demut laskel lechel min amincha l'mayla. You're allowed to eat a meal min amincha l'mayla on Erev Shabbos. Arvei psachim, we pass on Rabbi Yudah b'arvei psachim, and therefore you shouldn't have a suda sever on Erev Pesach because you have to be hungry for the matzah. So in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hei, Shulchan Aruch says, "Mishnik for Berav Shabbos Samach Chashecha Kodem Ben Hashmashos." Yesh Mishomer Shemavrinoso Oz V'Lin Yered Dekivon Sheinu Chov V'Tov Shalola Avroso Oz Mnei Kvod Shabbos V'Chein Noagin. Shulchan Aruch says, "I'm not comfortable with it. Better not to have a Sudas Avra late in the day on Erev Shabbos." On Geshar Chaim in Perachav Oz Beis Sivkot Nir Aleph, he says it doesn't mean Mamish Samach Chashecha. It means after Teisha Shos. That's already called Samach Chashecha. And the Samach Chashecha would only be mamish if a person always eats late in the day on Erev Shabbos and it doesn't seem to bother him as far as his Friday night meal. Now, this is stam, an interesting discussion about eating on Erev Shabbos. Right? Are you allowed to? I mean, the Shulchan Aruch is making it has these two datas. Are you allowed to have a Suda Savra on Erev Shabbos? And the Shulchan Aruch comes down that even though there's a mitzvah of Suda Savra, right, it's it could be a din in a hanhaga of avelus to have a suda savra, and it runs out at night. By the time night comes, you can't do it anymore, and we're going to pass that up because of this din that you're not supposed to eat on Erev Shabbos. So it's not the end of the world because we paskin that if you want to fast, you could. I mean, if you don't want to eat at all, you don't have to eat at all, right? I mean, you don't have to do the suda savra. But how serious is that din that you're not allowed to eat on Erev Shabbos? So let's take a little bit of a detour and discuss that for a couple of moments over here. That din is based on the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Chesam, two Gemaras actually. One is the Gemara we just referred to as Pesachim Tzadites, where you have the Sheet of Rabbi Yossi that, in contrast to Erev Pesach, where you're limited when you're allowed to eat, on Erev Shabbos you can eat Ad Shechashecha, Ad Shetachshach. But the problem is, there's a Gemara in Gittin that seems not that way. The Gemara in Gittin, the Aflam Chesem Beis, says that there were two families in Yerushalayim that were totally wiped out. One on account of holding large meals on Shabbos, competing with the drasha, meaning they put out on their WhatsApp chats, charcuterie boards and scotch and whatever. At the time of the Shabbos Hagadol drasha, for those who aren't interested, they held these big sudos to compete with the drasha. So that's why one family was wiped out. You've got to be careful of the Ritcha d'Oraisa. You insult the rabbis, and the family's gonna be wiped out. The other was on account of holding large meals on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says that they had these big sudos on Erev Shabbos. So Rashi has two explanations what Erev Shabbos means in that context. First, he says Erev Shabbos is Friday night, and Shabbos already started. It doesn't mean Erev Shabbos. It means the Erev of Shabbos. What's so bad about that? because covered yom, covered laila, covered yom adif. So you should have you should have your better stuff Shabbos day than you should have Friday night, because the halacha is right. If you have a favorite dessert, then you're either going to have it Friday night, you're going to have it Shabbos day, or you know, you're only going to be using the nice china for one meal and not for the other, or the nice silver for one meal. Kavod yom, kavod laila, kavod yom is adif. As Rav Tversky once explained, that's why even on a winter Shabbos, why didn't anyone come up with the chap where it's so difficult to eat shalosh shudis on those winter Shabbosos? Why don't you just have two meals on Friday? Meaning, if you have a really early Shabbos, so you can do Tosefes Shabbos, start a plug, you know, so at 3 o'clock have one meal, 8 o'clock or have another meal, and then one meal during the day. No, because kavod yom, kavod laila, kavod yom is adif. So the family that emphasized the Friday night meal at the expense of the morning meal was halachically inappropriate, and therefore they were all killed. I mean, it seems a little harsh for that kind of halacha. Then Rashi says, no, Erev Shabbos maybe means what we call Erev Shabbos. And if you have a big meal on Friday, it's like it's going to have a negative impact on your actual Suda Shabbos. And that's not good, that you shouldn't be having, what do they call it? People have these big kiddushes on Friday afternoon. Huh? Except without kiddush or kedusha.
Erev Shabbos Ruach.
Erev Shabbos Ruach. Tayameha, right? So you shouldn't have like these fancy Tayameha events on Erev Shabbos because your whole family will die. So that's what the Gemara says. Right? So heard it here first. So that's how Rashi understands. But it's a stira. The Gemara Pesachim says nothing wrong with Tayameha, right? The Gemara Pesachim says that you're allowed to eat on Erev Shabbos. So how do we resolve that stira? So the Ramban in Gittin gives two possible answers. Number one, he says that the passage in Gittin that says you can't eat on Erev Shabbos, that's the regular halacha. Rabbi Yossi in Pesachim is talking about an occasional extenuating circumstance when you would have to eat. Regular meals shouldn't be scheduled for Friday, but there may be certain extenuating circumstances where there's Suda Mitzvah or something special, some extra reason that you should dafka be eating late in the day. Ooh, if you say like that, answer the Ramban. So you understand Suda Savra is l'chora, at least an extenuating circumstance that would warrant eating late in the day, that normally you wouldn't, but Suda Savra is a good reason to eat late in the day. But then the Ramban suggests, second suggestion is, that regular halacha is like Pesachim, like Rabbi Yossi, Pesachim, you're allowed to eat. Gemara in Gittin about this tragic consequence of family that ate so much on Friday is that they ate only a bare minimum of food for their Shabbos meal. It wasn't so much a sin of eating on Friday, it was that they didn't eat properly on Shabbos. That Shabbos meal turned out to be, you know, a piece of gefilte fish and that's it. And they said, oh, I'm too stuffed, I can't eat anything. Well, why are you so stuffed? Because they were eating all day at the Tayameha. They were, devouring a charcuterie board, an hour ago when there was no mitzvah to do so. So now they can't eat anything because they're too stuffed to do so. Okay, so that's the Ramban. The Beis Yosef suggests a different resolution to the stira. He distinguishes between the word ochel, which is what Rabbi Yossi uses, and koveya su'uda, which is what the Gemara in Gittin says. You're allowed to be ochel, meaning you have something to eat. The Gemara in Gittin says you can't be koveya su'uda, which means having a meal that's much more than a typical weekday meal, but there's nothing wrong with a light snack on Friday. The Rambam seems to say like the Beis Yosef, right? The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Parak Lamed Halacha Daled, says that you shouldn't have a large meal on Friday, but you can eat a snack all day long. And the Magen Mishnah explains that you can't have a meal bigger than a regular weekday meal. So at Tayameha, there is such an inyan in some of the Svarim, to have a little something, taste a little bit of the Shabbos food or whatever, but that's all it should be. It shouldn't be more than a weekday meal. Once it becomes a whole asek and it becomes a whole thing, so that's where you run afoul of what the Rambam writes and what the Beis Yosef writes. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Mem Tes, in Aruch Chaim, we pass like the Rambam, that you're not allowed to eat a meal in the 3 hours that precede Shabbos, and or a larger than average meal all day Friday afternoon. Why? Either to keep you hungry for the Shabbos meal, which is like Rashi had said. Mishabura says if you eat on Friday, you're also likely to neglect your responsibilities in preparing for Shabbos, right? It's possible that some of these guys that are busy doing that on Friday afternoon, their wives are bathing the kids and setting that and getting everything ready, and like, where is he? Where'd he go? Oh, he must still be stuck at work or whatever, and he's sitting there shooting back whatever 28-year-old scotch, you know, with his buddies, and he comes home drunk on whatever. I live in the Five Towns. The other possibilities, Bir Alacha, says that the primary reason is not only that you should be hungry going into Shabbos, but having a Friday meal that rivals the Shabbos meal is inherently disrespectful to Shabbos. Meaning it's showing that my Shabbos meal is just like another weekday meal. So it's inherently disrespectful to Shabbos. So those are the three reasons. But the Rama writes that there are exceptions. You could have a meal on Friday if the meal is in honor of a bris or a pidyon haben. So even a bris that's taking place after the eighth day, it's not a meal of bezmana. Could be done on Friday, because even though once it's not bezmana, so why not just do it on Sunday? No, you could do it on Friday, and that's a sudas mitzvah, and you're allowed to do that. And the same by pidyon haben. Pidyon haben could be done on Friday. Let's say, you know, you have these cases where a guy is 50 years old and he just heard of the concept of pidyon haben and realized that his son never had a pidyon haben, he never had a pidyon haben, his grandson never had a pidyon haben, whatever, and they end up doing pidyon habens. So they could do that on Friday also. No need to delay it. There is a shach in Yerdeus in Reish Samach Vav where he talks about whether a delayed bris should be pushed off until Sunday so as not to have to milchal Shabbos in order to take care of the baby that just got a mila, but we don't do that. We do the bris on Friday. We don't delay for such reasons. Bir Alacha says a siyum masechta could be a large suda on Friday, meaning that's also Bir Alacha seems to assume that a siyum should be at the earliest possible time. So that's what they're struggling with over here about this idea. Now, what about Tayameha? So the Mishabura in Simon Reish Nun, Sivkat and Beis, says that there is a mitzvah to taste the Shabbos food on Friday. So Mishabura says it's done in order to make sure that the food is suitable for eating. But you don't want to sit down at a Shabbos food and like someone put the soup in their mouth and go and spit it out because it's disgusting, because it was totally spiced improperly or whatever. So you take a taste on Arab Shabbos, make sure that the food is, that the food is okay for Shabbos. That's the idea of Tayameh. So Mishra Bruce says that's why we do it. Also, the Machzor Vitri quotes from Talmud Yerushalmi that says that there is inherent value in tasting Shabbos food on Friday afternoon because you're trying to be mamshich the Kedusha of Shabbos. It doesn't mean there should be a totally separate spread for Friday afternoon than there is for Shabbos. It's supposed to be the Shabbos food, that you have a little bit of the Shabbos food. Okay, so anyway, so that's as far as, that's what the issue that they're struggling with over here. Like, should you be having this food on Friday afternoon? Okay, now back to Tilchus Avilus. As far as Havra'a on Shabbos itself, so the Mukhe Yosef, in the end of Parak HaMokras HaPeres and Mabasra, says that we don't do Havra on Shabbos because it's Avel Shabbos Farhesia. Beis Yosef in Simon Shin Sadi Gimel says he doesn't know any reason for that because Asuyim Bnei Adam Lavi Machal to someone who's not able to prepare food on Erev Shabbos, even though he's not an Avel. So it's not so nicker that it's a Davar Shel Avelus. Sometimes people bring food to other people. And also, the din of not having Avel Farhesia is a din on the Avel, that he shouldn't be knowing Avel Farhesia. But for other people, there's no; they don't have a din that they're not allowed to, give him a suda savra l'chora. That's a nafkamina in that same chakira. What is the din of suda savra? Is it a demonstration of avelus, or is it tanchume avelim? And there is some level of tanchume avelim on Shabbos. So that's what he writes. That the Beis Yosef writes that pasha l'minig b'kol ha'olam, that we do havra on Shabbos. And no one's potzapel mitzapsev. So in the Hagos and the Arus on the tour, in Machon Yerushalayim tour, it says that the Divrei Beis Yosef is tzarech iyun, because then why don't we do Havra Beregel? As far as Rosh Hashanah B'tzinah are concerned, there's no chiluk between Yom Tov and Shabbos. And we see that in Shin Sadi Tes if we get to it. Okay. It's not Shai, it's not okay anyway, it's never the same day. How does it, what's the Echidim Tzivim? Maybe we're talking about the extension of the 7 days. I don't know. Halacha, Shulchan Aruch Paskin Sifav, just to mention, Shalom Eidah, it should never come up. But Ein Mavrna Lakata, Nelem Kenu Ben Shloshim Yom Shleimim Mokimle Beishakalu Lachadashav, right? Similar to Dinim of Avelos, that you don't do Sudha Savra for a very tiny baby that was not fully developed. Now, some Dinim of the base Avel. The Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin says, that were marbitzin and mechabdin bebeisavel madichin ka'aros ukosos utzlochios. You sweep and you clean the floors and you clean the dishes and everything like that. But you don't bring any besamim or mugmar, any fancy smelling spices. But that's all in the beis hamenachemim. The beis ha'avel you bring it. So the Torah writes, what does it mean beis ha'avel? It means where the dead body is. You bring it. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, because in the bias that the meisas sham, the besamim that you're bringing is not for hana'a, it's just because there's a rotting dead body there that you don't want it to smell, and therefore ain mavin lebeis ha'avel. But what you do see, I mean, none of that is nogea to us, but what you do see is that you try to avoid ta'anugim yaserim, right, in the beis avel, that they would stay away from extra ta'anugim. So they used to be burn mugmar, they would burn incense, and they enjoyed that, and that was something. So you don't do, meaning an avel doesn't go and have a nice cigar, you know, he doesn't, if that's what he enjoys, right? Meaning you stay away from the finer things in life and these extra ta'anugim in the beis avel. Gemara Moichat and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph tells us is also a halacha that someone brought up the other day. I don't remember who. The Gemara says that we don't say a Shmua va'agada. It was Morty Plav maybe brought up that we don't say a Shmua va'agada beis avel. You don't say learning in a beis avel. You don't learn Torah in a beis avel. Shulchan Aruch Paskin said over here in Sif Zayin. Ve'inam Shmua va'agada beis avel eli yoshvim v'domimim. Everyone sits there silent. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, we all violate this, right? This is like so shver. Every Beis Avel, what do? Between Mincha Mariv? In the Avela Siddur, they have a selection of Mishnayos that are printed in the back of the Avela Siddur, right? So that you could have an easy time learning the Mishnayos. You could just read the English, and it says that it even has like a little nice connection, I think. It has a little nice connection to a Beis Avel at the end of each Mishnah. You're learning some Mishnah in Kalim or something. And he was a kli for bracha and whatever in our lives. I don't, you know, like there's a so there are Mishnayos, mamish right there. In the so how do we do this? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's Beferish and Maseches Machos, that's only al chacham shemes, the base midrash of batel. But avelim d'alma, people could learn. And he says, "Ma'ot mehani al shulchan aruch va'achronim shasasmu devrayim avladina nirli bar gemashuk safti." Wow, he says, every achron and the shulchan aruch got it wrong. They all say that you're not allowed to learn in a base avel. It's only a chacham shemes. This is part of the din of base midrash of batel. So most cases, it's not a chacham shemes. Rav Shachter always points out in the name of Salvechik that he just thought the minhag was wrong, that you shouldn't be learning Mishnayos in the base level, that there is no that it's not proper. L'chora, and Rav Salvechik held that it's not just a din in the oven, it's a din in a base oven. So even if the oven is spacing out, he's not paying attention to the Mishnayos. If it's din in the base oven, which certainly that's where it happens. So L'chori could bring a riot to Rav Salvechik that it's not a din in the Avel, it's a din in a base Avel, because look where it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Si'if about a base Avel, that Marbitzin, right, what we do with the Medich and Kalim and all these are dinim in a base Avel. So L'chori, it's a pretty it's indicative that it's a din of a base Avel. Rav Shachter writes about this in Be'ikvei Atzon, page Kuf Chav Beis. They shouldn't learn Mishnayos. You know, he says, you know, in some places they'll send the Avel out of the room because he's not allowed to learn. It doesn't solve the problem because it's still the base Avel. It's also B'Divrei Torah. I think Nefesh HaRavi writes this as well. It's similar to Sheila Shalom in the base Avel. I mean, there's certain dinim in an Avel and certain dinim in a base Avel. We'll get to this more when we get to the Nihugei Avelus. Right? The idea of Kfiya Samita is called mita shebabayis. Not only the mita of the avel, called mita shebabayis. you do kfiyas amita. We don't do kfiyas amita anymore. So we don't. But it's a din in the base of it. Shela shalom. So what does it mean shela shalom? So that there's an isra of shela shalom for an avil, but there's also a din of shela shalom for a base avil. You don't go and say shalom aleichem and aleichem shalom to the people sitting next to you in a base avil either. Although people do that all the time, but it's not proper. Rav Shachtel thought it's mutter to be maharer b'divrei Torah in the base avil. That's not a violation. It's only when it's an expressive show of Limud HaTorah. In Badei HaShulchan, he tries to be miyashiv the minhag of the Mishnayos, because all of Klal Yisrael does it. So, like, you can go into a Beis Avil as a rabbi and say, "No, we're not going to learn Mishnayos." You know, they're going to be like, "You're fired the next day." So, or actually, they may enjoy it. Can we daven Marv now? Okay, good. All right, just a moment. So the Badei HaShulchan calls from a Shevet Yehuda. Or Nimrei Baruch, I think, not Rabbi Simon. That's Melamed Zchus on our minhag to learn Mishnayos and Beis Avel, because it's all the Kavod the Avel. That the limud is for the Zchus of the Nisham of the Niftar, and therefore it's not a zilzal to be learned. Because normally it's a zilzal that you're supposed to be silent, and what are you? You're busy distracting yourself, but it's not a distraction because it's all for the neshama. If you make him leave the room, then it's not such a great Kavod for the Avel. So that's what Kiddush Shulchan Aruch writes. Kiddush Shulchan Aruch says beferish that matov lumad l'tikun neshama, that it's a good thing. And certainly if the other option is that you're going to sit around schmoozing about other things. So the whole point is yoshev v'domim, is that you're silent and you're not saying anything. So then, okay. Rabbi Willick said, learn Ma'id Katan, learn Pirkei Avos. You're allowed to learn Divrei Musar. So you learn the Mishnayos and Ma'id Katan with Nidoy and things like that. Or you could learn Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Willick thought Pirkei Avos makes the most sense because Divrei Musar is even mutter for an Avel. So you could learn Divrei Musar in a base Avel as well. Yeah.
Could you say that Mishnayos is not really part of Shmua
Ben-Gadar?
Which one would it be?
I think we understand Shmua Ben-Gadar just means Talmud Torah. That it's part of it in Isra Talmud Torah. Shmuel would mean only halachos and agarta, but Mishnayos are halachos also. Mishnayos are the basic halachos.
You mean the story of the beginning of the year about Rav Rebbe and Rav discussing like the Rambam, it's not fair, and you put him afterwards, and that was all based out of that account.
Yeah. What was the Rambam about? Do you remember? What was it? What was that Rambam about? It was Din and Avelus, though. No? Wasn't it a Din and
Avelus? Someone just makes down.
What?
So Baba Trevi said to Soloveitchik, the Rambam said that an onid is someone whose mace died.
Okay. So, right. Meaning it was within Dina Avelus, so that's why it was, that's mutter for sure. That's what Verizon said. He once went to be Menachem Avel Rav Pam, when Rav Pam's brother died, maybe, or something like that, or sister, or someone. And he got there early before Shachris, and Rav Pam was standing by Shtender learning, like he always learned. It's just that he was learning Hilchos Avelus, so it didn't change his schedule all that much, but there's plenty to learn. You can learn when you're in Avelus. Most Avelus don't have any time to learn. It's not that shy.
The
dinner
of
Shachter
and the salvation that there's like a
chiluk
between Talmud Torah and Rav Pam, and then there's Teshuvah.
Yeah, Dvarim Arayim, Rav Shachter told me I can't even give Shiurim in Dvarim Arayim on Teshuvah. To the whole world does, right? I mean, they say that, right? There's more programming on Tisha B'Av. Hundreds of people go to Shiurim. But, so would the same apply over here? I don't know, I'm sure it's written in the Shiur Arav and Avelus on Tisha B'Av. Check, probably, why not? No. What foods should be served in these? So let's try to finish up Havrad in the last 2 minutes over here. So the Gemara Ksuba says that they were misaking 10 kosos of wine in a Beis Avel, 3 before the Suda, 3 during the Suda, and 4 after the Suda. And then they added another 4, and would you believe it, after 14 cups of wine, people got a little shikker. So they were machzer davar liyoshna. So Rashi writes, and the Rambam understands, it means they went back to just 10 cups of wine. The Ramban says, no, they just said, not to drink so much wine at all. And that it's only tocha su'uda, because the yayin la'achra su'uda is meshaker. So the Torah writes, kenam adavar, that's what we do. The Rambam writes that you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine a little bit in order to be shor de achila b'meyav, but you shouldn't drink to the point where you're like totally, full with wine. Shulchan Aruch paskens this way over here in Siv Ches. Kivin shenik barabes mutar leechul basav lishlos yayin ma'at betoch hasuda. K'dei lishlos achilish me'av avlo l'rabos. Right, that's what we pasken. The Badei Shulchan says that you need lechem for suda savra. Sounds that way from the Sharet Zion in the Mishnah Berurah and Simon Tav Ayin Aleph. And the Rosh Hashanah also paskens that way. There, the Gemara Bava Basra says that you do Avra with Adashim because it's round, and Avelus is a Gilgal Achozer Ba'olam that it comes around to every family, and also because it's Ein Lo Peh, there's no opening in it, and an Avel is Ein Lo Peh, he doesn't have a mouth with which to speak. So it says Nafkamina between the reasons is can use Beitzim because the Beitzim don't have a Peh, and it's not a but it's not round. So the Ramban writes from the Avel Rabasi that they used to use eggs, and that's, I think, the standard that they use eggs. So Beitz and Va'adashim, that's considered a Suda Savra. Shulchan Aruch Paskin is a Sif test. The Aruch HaShulchan is Medayik from Lashon Gemara, also Lechel Lecha Mishalo, that the Iker is really the Lechem. But maybe the other Tavshilin, he is allowed to eat Mishalo, but Pashtus is not that way. In fact, we asked Rav Shachter once, is it usher for him to drink Mishalo? Before the Suda Savra, on the way back from the Levaya, he's thirsty and he has a Snapple in his car. Can he drink the Snapple? So Rosh Hashanah thought only b'shasat chak, that l'chadchila he shouldn't, only if he's really thirsty. But b'shasat chak, he could be makel to have him drink. Other poskim I saw think that there's no problem. It says lechol mishalov, doesn't say that you're not allowed to drink mishalov. As far as Birchas HaMazon Beis Avel, I guess we'll maybe just read it. It's not that much. Shinayin test. When they say when Rav Shachter was sitting Shiva, the benchers don't print what it's supposed to say in Birchas HaMazon. So they took out a Shulchan Aruch, opened up Shinayin test, and he read from there what it says, what you're supposed to say, the adjustments you're supposed to make in Birchas HaMazon. Okay, so tomorrow maybe we'll make brief mention of the Birchas HaMazon, but then we'll get to Dvarim Shaha Avel Aser Behem, the actual Dinim of the Avelus itself.